Welcome to Habits for Your Happily Ever After, where we get clear about your marriage communication. Because when your relationships are strong, you're able to concentrate at work, reduce conflict at home, and receive support for your dreams so that you have the courage to live your best life. I'm Rebecca Mullen, a relationship coach living in Western Colorado. And today we're going to address the age-old question, what makes a happy marriage? You'll hear why this might actually be the wrong question to ask. I'll introduce you to a book and a podcast that examine this subject from a different point of view, and I'll offer you a discussion and a habit so that you can deepen your relationship by asking a different question. Recently, I was chatting with my friend Rosemary, who is my truth detector. I told her I was writing a piece about what is a happy marriage. I know the exact moment I decided to create this podcast, I told Rosemary. It was the moment I heard an interview on the radio as I drove. I was just merging onto I-70 after buying groceries for the week with 5 sacks of groceries in the car and 4 hungry mouths to feed. When I got home, I heard the journalist on the radio say, "No one is going to write about a happy marriage. It's boring." What a travesty, I thought. How are we going to hear about what it takes to make a happy marriage if only the ugly moments are discussed? We need someone who will talk about the habits that create a happily ever after. I vowed to be that person. So I told Rosemary what was inspiring this particular episode of the podcast. I just finished reading Ann Patchett's new book, Tom Lake. It's a gorgeous story about marriage. In the book, Laura Nelson and her husband Joe own a cherry orchard. The pandemic has brought their grown daughters back to the farm, and as the daughters help to pick cherries, they ask their mother about a summer decades ago when she was acting in the play Our Town and had a romance with Peter Duke, an actor who would go on to win an Oscar. The daughters, particularly Nell, who hopes to become an actress herself one day, seem mystified why their mother would marry Joe and live on a farm rather than have the glamorous life of Hollywood. I tell Rosemary about the first moment in the book that takes my breath away. Laura comes to bed. Her husband is already there, fast asleep. She doesn't worry about waking him because in the summer, nothing can wake him. The bulk of the work of this orchard rests on his shoulders. The farm, the workers, the cherries that must be picked. He works all day, and then after dinner, he says he'll just finish up a thing or two, and then he proceeds to put in a second shift. Laura looks at her sleeping husband. His hand is on his heart. She puts her hand there and says, "Live forever." Ah, I sigh at this gorgeous scene as if my sigh is enough to explain why this is a happy marriage. But Rosemary won't have it. "This isn't a happy moment," she says to me. "Look at what's inspiring her to say this. It's death, the death that will certainly come." It might sound to you like Rosemary is raining on my parade, but I know her too well to think that that's what's happening. Instead, she's helping me to find the deeper truth, which, as you will hear, is even more lovely. So now I will take you on the journey with me this week to answer the question, what is a happy marriage? Years ago, I had the good fortune to visit the Mediterranean Sea. On the shore of the sea were zillions of white stones that ranged in size from a dime to a fist. These stones were burnished so smooth that not a single one had a rough patch nor a corner. They were gorgeous. I'll link to a photo of these gorgeous rocks in the podcast notes. Each of the stones sparkle like snow crystals after a hoarfrost. They aren't just white. The white is swirled with the tiniest hint of gray. Some of the stones contain more of that gray shadow, and some are so white as to be blinding. I hold a singular rock in my hand. It nestles between my two tallest fingers and my thumb. And then that stone invites me to trace its smooth texture with my thumb. I rub the smoothness on my upper lip over and over. I circle my thumb and I marvel at the lack of any sharp edges. I close my hand over the rock and I feel the calm shoreline where the ocean meets the earth. Whoosh comes a wave, licking the shoreline of the Mediterranean Sea. Shh, it says as it recedes. Whoosh, shh, whoosh, shh. I'm calmed by this rhythm. I'm home in its promise to be forever smooth and present, offering gravity to my life. Until I think about it from the stone's point of view. What has made these rocks smooth? Of course I know what it is. It's the constant tumbling of the waves. Each wave brings a little sediment to each stone, acting like sandpaper on all those rough edges. The scientific word for this is abrasion. That's also the word that sounds like it hurts. If you're in your 30s, the moment when Lara puts her hand atop her sleeping husband's hand may not resonate with you. It doesn't occur to you to want your sweetheart to live forever because you're just trying to survive this moment. You're trying to make dinner with one hand because you're holding a baby on the other. Or you're racing through the grocery store and you practically fall asleep in your driveway when you get home because you're so tired. And if a thought like that occurs to you, you might even have a moment when you think, if my sweetheart died, well, at least I could collect on the life insurance policy and I wouldn't have to work so hard. You don't realize that the dizzying dance of work you're doing right now is the waves that are burnishing the bond you have to the person who shares your front door and toilet. The daughters in Anne Patchett's book, Tom Lake, are in their 20s. They think their mother made a mistake. Why trade the glamour of romance with Oscar-winning Peter Duke for the mundane life of the cherry orchard and keeping the promise of watering and trimming all those trees? This is the age when you ask the question, what is a happy marriage? You want all the synonyms that go with happy. Gleeful, ecstatic, ebullient. But Lara, whose marriage has been burnished by the waves of life, wants to make them understand why she loves their father. She remembers how love felt at 24 years old when she fell for Peter Duke. It felt like falling off a roof, wild and spontaneous, with no sense of the mess that would come to the pavement below. So she asks her daughters, do you remember when you begged to go to the fair? Maisie is the middle daughter. She's studying to be a veterinarian. During the pandemic, when face-to-face contacts are rare, Maisie's training has helped her neighbors. Her neighbors don't care that she doesn't have all her certifications. They are grateful when she is willing to come in the middle of the night and help to deliver the foal who is tangled up inside his mother. But during the day, while they pick cherries, Maisie remembers being a kid. I loved the fair. She remembers the raucous rides and the gooey cotton candy. So much cotton candy. The thrilling rides that made her stomach surge into her throat. Her mother remembers the puking and all that colorful cotton candy vomited first on one sister, then on her, and on the way home down her husband's back. So Lara asks her daughter, but would you want to go to the fair now? Would you want to go to the fair if it meant not helping to deliver the foal? Lara knows what it is like to fall off the roof into love. She also knows the love that is two lives filled with complications slowly braided together day after day after day. This is how the question changes. At 24, you ask yourself, what makes a happy marriage? At 54, you ask, who will endure getting barfed on after the fair and laugh about it and still want to stay married? At 24, you want the sparkle. At 54, you want a lifetime. The question that's most compelling changes as you live longer and longer with your sweetheart. In your 20s, you most want adventure and freedom and excitement. In your 60s, you most want trustworthiness and loyalty and companionship. What you want from your marriage changes. You realize that happiness alone is overrated. The question I was asking with Rosemary wasn't enough. That's why she challenged me on it. In order to take you to the next iteration of the question, I want to tell you a different story. Let me introduce you to a conversation I heard with Krista Tippett and Kate DiCamillo. Krista Tippett is the host of a podcast called On Being. Kate DiCamillo is an author who mostly writes young adult fiction. Kate DiCamillo wrote Because of Winn-Dixie and The Tale of Despero and many others. Animals figure largely in her books, and she often has a wide range of characters whose stories overlap. When you watch her characters overlap, love gets revealed in the most gorgeous ways. Krista Tippett quotes her own daughter, saying how her daughter fell in love with those characters in Kate DiCamillo's books, and then their lives intertwined. It's the intertwining where we really fall in love. The overlaps, the entanglements, the struggles, the hopes, they all get intertwined, and the beauty of this weaving together of lives is what we love about Kate DiCamillo's books. We love this because we crave belonging. Part of a quote-unquote happy marriage is that sense of belonging, right? A desire to belong is built into our DNA. We survived through the ages because we had each other's backs. But when our lives intertwine, it's not always happy. At least not happy in the sense of lighthearted and joyful. Sometimes, oftentimes, it's tragic. This is the burnishing. The waves of the sea tumbling those rocks, removing the edges, smoothing each stone so you can't help but pick it up and treasure it in your hand. Kate DiCamillo has one of the best answers to this juxtaposition where we want the intertwining, but we're hesitant about the pain that comes with all that togetherness. In this interview between Krista Tippett and Kate DiCamillo, Kate DiCamillo tells the story of her childhood friend who would read Charlotte's Web and cry and cry. But the instant her friend finished the book, she'd open it to page one and begin again. Why? Kate DiCamillo asks her friend. Why do you read it again? And the friend says, I knew that a terrible thing was going to happen. And I also knew it was going to be okay somehow. I thought that I couldn't bear it, but then when I read it again, it was all so beautiful, and I found that I could bear it. This defines for me what is a happy marriage. It's the beauty of the sparkling white stones, even as another wave crashes upon them with its fine sandpaper of silt, scraping away another layer to reveal even more soothing smoothness. To put gravity into your hand so you know you'll never float away. Then in the interview, Kate DiCamillo answers the question further by reading from a letter she wrote to a young author named Matt. The letter is copied all over the internet, but here you get to hear Kate DiCamillo read it. Now, I'm going to quote from the interview. And if you want to listen to this part of the interview, which I'll link in the show notes, this part of the interview starts at 26 minutes and 50 seconds into the interview. Kate DiCamillo goes on to say to Matt, I have tried for a long time to figure out how E.B. White, the author of Charlotte's Web, did what he did, how he told the truth and made it bearable. The only answer I could come up with was love. E.B. White loved the world, and in loving the world, he told the truth about it. Its sorrow, its heartbreak, its devastating beauty. He trusted his readers enough to tell them the truth. And with that truth came comfort and a feeling that we are not alone. This is what my friend Rosemary knew. It's why she challenged me about my question, what is a happy marriage? She could feel me searching for something so much more than a happy marriage. Rosemary and Anne Patchett and Kate DiCamillo and the Mediterranean Sea, they are all inviting me to wonder, to pay attention, to notice all the layers that go into making up a life of love filled with the complexity we long for. Just recently, I spent a day with my granddaughter, who is almost 2 years old. We sat together while she poured water out of a tiny teapot into a tiny cup, and then back again, back and forth, back and forth. She's wondering, does the water always go into the cup? She's noticing the tiny spills, and she wipes them up with her sponge. She pays attention. She sees nothing but the teapot, the cup, and the water that flows back and forth. She doesn't wonder if this is what she should be doing. She doesn't compare her pouring to my pouring. She is lost in the fascination of living in this moment and paying attention to this moment. A happy marriage is based in wonder. It's flavored with familiarity. Love is being able to belong at the shoreline where the burnishing and the sparkle meet. To quote Tom Lake one more time, the suffering exists beside wet grass and bright blue sky recently scrubbed by rain. The beauty and the suffering are equally true. Maybe that is why Rosemary questioned my premise. I thought my task was to make marriage less boring, and occasionally I still believe that is my task. But my task, at least today, is to notice why the question, what is a happy marriage, that's the wrong question, or it's not the only question. Because marriage is filled with all sorts of moments, some blissful, some boring, some aggravating, some peaceful, some kind, some mean, some moments when you want to run far, far away and never return, and some moments when you put your hand on your sweetheart's sleeping hand and you beg them to live forever. And what Rosemary's truth detector was noticing in me is that I want to make all of that happy. It's not always happy. Some people would tell me it's rarely happy, but it's beautiful. So beautiful you don't ever want to imagine an end to that love and beauty. So you put your hand atop the hand of your sleeping sweetheart and you whisper, live forever. We've arrived at our date night discussion segment. This week, I invite you to talk with your sweetheart about the enormous variety of questions you could ask yourself about your relationship. Our society is sort of plain vanilla when we talk about marriage, and we seem to be stuck on that question, what makes a happy marriage? But if that's the only question you're asking, then you're like Maisie in Ann Patchett's book, Tom Lake. You're only thinking about the thrill of the fair. Her mother knows that thrill gets old. In addition to thrills, we also want a sense of accomplishment. We want mystery. We want familiarity. We want someone to sit with us while we drink a cup of coffee. We want to know our someone has our back when we start a podcast and we're scared and excited at the same time. We want to share our life with someone so we belong. When you learn how to ask a wide variety of questions about your marriage will expand to meet your curiosity. If you only ask one question, is this a happy marriage? You limit yourself. You are only inviting your curiosity to examine your joy or your contentment in this moment. But overall, life satisfaction is so much more complicated and beautiful and rich. When you can expand your vocabulary and your curiosity to include a wide bunch of questions about the kind of marriage you're experiencing, your life gets richer, like the expanse of the shoreline of the Mediterranean Sea. One stone is lovely, but a mass of stones? Ah, it's mind-blowing. So, discuss among yourselves, what else do you want in addition to a happy marriage? Are you enjoying today's podcast? Then I'd like to invite you to subscribe to my newsletter. I write to my subscribers every week and offer them some sort of invitation. I'd love to invite you too. Click the link in your podcast notes and then click the subscribe button so you don't miss a single invitation from me. This week's habit for your happily ever after is to ask a different question about your marriage. Instead of asking the same old question, what makes our marriage happy? You could ask, what is the most familiar thing in our relationship? Once my family took a vacation with my grown children, including my daughter's husband, and we were in the car on a long drive. And I was playing the favorites game. What's your favorite season of clothes to wear? And what is your favorite item of clothing to wear during that season? My answer to that question is two pair of tights. I'm always happiest when I can wear two pair of tights. And my family marvels at the ridiculousness of that. And then I asked this favorites question, what is your favorite landscape to look at? Guess what? All five of us mentioned the view from our living room window. Now, I will admit it's a gorgeous view from my porch. I'm a very lucky woman, but my family has had the luck to see amazing places, and we've certainly seen more spectacular views. But part of the beauty equation, at least for the five of us, includes familiarity. The landscape we see from our living room is the most familiar, and that was enough to help make it our favorite. With this in mind, try asking yourself the question, what's my favorite part about being married to my partner, to my sweetheart? Or maybe, what makes our relationship familiar and cozy? Maybe you want to ask something very different, like, what makes the challenges we face in our marriage worth it? Or how do the challenges we face in our marriage act like the burnishing power of the Mediterranean Sea? How are our challenges smoothing our edges and revealing the sparkle inside each of us? I'm beyond curious to know what questions you come up with. Truly. Please text me and let me know what you found. I'm at 970-210-4480, and I can't wait to hear the questions you find that help you cultivate a marriage that inspires that hand on top of hand, live forever whisper. That's it for today. I'm Rebecca Mullen, and this has been Habits for Your Happily Ever After, where we get clear about your marriage communication. Because when your relationships are strong, you're better able to concentrate at work, reduce conflict at home, and receive support for your dreams, so you can have the courage to live your best life. If you enjoyed this podcast, I'd be grateful if you'd send a link to your friend. Habits for Your Happily Ever After is produced by Grace Smith. All our music and sound comes from Walk West Productions. I'm Rebecca Mullen. Thanks for including me in your relationship today.